Why should he know my name? Why should he know any of our names? But he does. He does. And during this time, Memorial Day weekend, I tried to put together a message, but as much as I tried to focus on Memorial Day, I kept being pulled in a little bit different direction. So who am I to fight that? I'm going to go in that direction. But I will say that Memorial Day is a remembrance of those that fought and died for us and for our freedoms. And for us as Christians, that's huge in this country. That is huge in this country. The other night I was watching an interview, and they were talking about North Korea. And you may be aware that North Korea, they don't have the same freedoms, to say the least. They don't have anything like what we have. And they were talking about how even today, their best estimates, because we don't know, we can't get in there to know, but the best estimates that there are currently 70,000 Christians in prison right now for praising the Lord. And one of them even, did you know that if you violate what they want you to do in North Korea, they don't just put you in prison, they put your entire family in prison. And I've actually even heard it's three generations, so everybody goes. And so there's little children in prison just because someone wanted to have a Bible in their house. So what blessings do we have? And we pray blessings for them, but in this country, we have blessings. And so that's why it's always good to remember on Memorial Day some of the people that fought and helped us have those blessings. But we are attacked. We are still attacked. Today's message I've entitled Resisting Satan's Attacks. So, has anybody here ever been attacked by the devil? You know, I feel like I was attacked all week. I'm losing my voice, losing my mind. I don't know. Getting angry. But I tell you what, I bring myself back, and I will not let the devil win. I don't have to. So, but the devil tends to attack us primarily in three areas. So the physical, the intellectual, and the moral. So we resist Satan's attacks and lies biblically, and we will find consistent victory in our spiritual warfare against our enemy of our souls. So, and as I was studying for this, I was running across several really interesting comments, and this one stood out to me. So back when Senator Robert Kennedy was assassinated back in 1968, Billy Graham had made a comment at that time, and it said that he said it seems as though the hordes of violent demons have been let loose in our country. Well, I kind of feel that's how it is right now. I feel like we're all being attacked from every angle. It's equally true. Demonic attacks against people's minds and their souls, and their bodies. That seems to be a regular thing, not an unusual thing. But fortunately for us, we know that the Lord has an effective defense against this demonic warfare. So as we talk about these three different attacks by the devil, John tells us in 8:44, and we learn that he, or the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. So that brings us to the first kind of attack. He's a murderer. That's a physical attack. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So physical attacks against us. For example, when there was Luke, there was the story of the woman that had been afflicted and bent over for 18 years. She was crippled by a spirit. And then, of course, she was healed, and it was let go. There were numerous physical healings in the Gospels by exorcism. Of course, we don't believe that if you're born again, we don't believe you can be possessed, but the Lord can still surround and attack and use his other attacks against us. So, again, I'm uncertain as to how much they can afflict us as Christians physically, but I do know, generally speaking, that Satan's intent is always to steal, kill, and destroy. Just as it said in John 10:10. It can be said with certainty that we are in ongoing warfare against the devil and his demons. So, we'll go to our second type of attack. John 8:44, again, the devil, there's no truth in him, he's a liar. So he's a liar. It's intellectual and mental attacks on mankind. It attempts to deceive the mind. in Genesis, when Eve was there and the devil came to her and said, "It's fine, you can go ahead and eat of this fruit. There's no problem. He told you you would die, but that's not true. You're not going to die. Go ahead." So she did. And contrary to his promises, they did die, right? And through that action, through that sin, they brought mortality into the world and separated us even that much more from God. There's other kinds of mental attacks. Sometimes I call them the fiery arrows or the little darts that Satan throws at you, the little whispers in your ear, the little thoughts that go through your head. For example, let's say you have maybe in a marriage, there's a couple, and maybe one of them is not as happy as they want to be, and they get caught up in everything that they hear and see on TV, and I want to be happy, and I want to do this. And the devil says, "Just go ahead and leave. There's no problem. It's not going to get any better. Go ahead and leave." That's not true. That's an attack. That is a mental attack upon our spirit. There might be, let's say you have a Christian that is going through their life as we do, and sometimes we have struggles. Sometimes it's hard. And that's sometimes when Satan comes in and says, "You know, by the way, this religion stuff that you're doing, that's not going to work. So don't get too involved with that. You'll just be disappointed." But no, that's the very time that we should run towards God and not run away from God. So our third kind of attack that we have. So in 1 John 3:8, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The devil is an experienced sinner and never ceases to bring temptations against the moral side. So that's one of our attacks, the moral attack. Sometimes you have Christians or men that might be battling against inappropriate actions, maybe looking at things they shouldn't be looking at and going down a pursuit that they shouldn't be going at. When they think to themselves, because the devil tells you, "That's okay. You can go ahead and watch that. You're just looking. You're not really doing anything." But you know what? He already got you. You don't have to. He's got you because he's got you thinking. He's got your mind off the Lord. He's got your mind off the things that are right. Could be a, you know, when I was writing this, I was thinking to myself, I might be really old-fashioned. But I was thinking, do they still have soap operas today? I don't know. I remember that. Well, I'm going to use that example because I thought they still had those. But, you know, so sometimes you get, you know, women are there and they get wrapped up in it and they like to watch the soap operas and it's okay to be entertained. But sometimes they're kind of racy little, you know, scenarios and they're kind of unusual things and the devil comes in and says, "You know what? There's no problem about fantasizing about that. You're really not going to act on those. You're not going to act on those fantasies. It's fine. You can do that." Again, that's chipping away at our moral character. We have to guard against that. It could even be students. Who's a student? I know we have some students. It could be some students in your final exam, and you're sitting there, and I don't know, I wish I studied more. I don't know what this is talking about. And you look over, and your buddy's just writing it all out. You got it right there. The devil tells you, "Go ahead. Go ahead and look at that. You can write that down. That's no big deal. You need a good grade in this class. You better do that." And if we do, that's chipping away again at our moral character. He's tearing us down. So the demonic attacks and spiritual warfare against us, as we said, come mostly from those directions, physically, intellectually, and morally. So then, what provisions does God make for us to help us be able to fight off those attacks? How can we resist? If we're constantly under attack, surely we have a plan to resist. Well, here's a good plan right here. We got five things that I was thinking about, and there's probably hundreds and hundreds more, but we'll just go through five that help us resist these attacks. So in 1 John 3:8, again, it tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Wow. That's the reason he's here. All this stuff that the devil's doing, all these plans that he's making, all these little darts that he's throwing, it doesn't matter because that's why Jesus came, to destroy his works. And I might have to take a drink. And plus, I'll spill this all over me, too. All right. Okay, maybe that'll sound better. So, God came, and Son of God came to destroy the devil's work. So, he's already won. eliminate the fear factor. Satan's been defeated already. So all we have to worry about is we fear God. We don't fear the devil. And I'd much rather be on that side of the playing field. In Ephesians 4:27, it admonishes us to not give the devil a foothold. Give no place, no foothold to the devil. Give him no occasions to get his foot in the door of your heart. So what does that mean? Well, you know, again, I was watching some other things. I do a lot of research online, especially when I'm preparing for something. And I was just looking at different things, and I heard this interview, and it was just about this mountain climber. And he was climbing have you ever seen those that climb the sheer rocks and just looks ridiculous? It looks like Spider-Man going up the side of the mountain. And some of them don't even use ropes, right? So there's one guy, he was pretty experienced, and he was climbing up the mountain, and he got to the point where he thought, this is it. I made a mistake. I put myself in this situation. He was hanging on. His legs were getting weak. He was starting to get kind of weary. And he said, I did it to myself. I can't go any further. I don't have a foothold. I don't have any way to go. Just then, he looks over here a little ways to the other side. And there was like one of the world-famous mountain climbers was also going up that. And he just looked over and said, hey, just put your hand up in that crack right there and swing your foot over. And that's what he did. So now he's got a foothold. And now he was successful. So he was able to continue his climb. So right out of something that was a doom and gloom, it was a disaster ready to happen, the right foothold helped him withstand that and to continue on. So we want to set no vile thing before our eyes. We don't want to frequent any places of temptation. If we have a problem with something, some kind of activity, maybe gambling, some people have problems. Well, even buying things. Maybe I'm buying too much stuff, right? Maybe I'm addicted to retail therapy, right? But we don't want to let ourselves get into these compromising positions. I mean, so often we hear about, and I hate to say, but it's really, you really should be very careful with any kind of a male-female relationship that's platonic, even, right? You want to make sure you don't enter in any situation that's going to put you in a compromising position, or it's going to even... There's a thing we talk about, there's a legal premise that talks about impropriety and then also the appearance of impropriety. Both of those things are equally is damaging. So anyways, you want to watch out. Always be on guard for your moral guard dropping. So now in 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. So that's our third way that we can defeat the attacks. It's a godly walk. Our daily godly walk with the Lord. We're not going to continue to sin. Our godly walk will bring about the second part of that scripture. So 1 John 5:18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. So that's probably the ultimate fulfillment of the concept of give no place to the devil. So that is your pure and godly walk with God. It shuts the door to the devil's seductions. And as we said, the devil has been sinning from the beginning. But in God, there is no sin. So you can see what effect that has on our direction, that sin has on our direction. If we sin, we're moving away from God. If we don't sin, then we're moving towards God. And I'd much rather be keeping my eyes on the prize, right? Go towards God. The fourth way that we can strengthen ourselves to withstand the fiery attacks of Satan is exemplified in Matthew 4:3-4. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, what? It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So that's our fourth thing, written, the word of God. Right? Resist the devil with the word of God. There's nothing more powerful than that. I mean, I'm the first one to tell you, I think I have many, many more. I don't think I'm going to have enough time on this earth to memorize all the scriptures I would like to memorize. But I can start with the ones that I think are going to be the most impactful and the ones that I can use in my fight against the devil. Or in the Lord's fight against the devil, because it's not me. I'm just saying his words. So Paul writes that the word is just the sword of the Spirit. It's in Ephesians 6:17. And, you know, I remember there's another Bible scholar that I like to watch. He has a series of videos online. And I watch a lot of these. And he had a great idea. And I try to take advantage of it, and then I do it. And then I kind of get away from it. But I can just tell you what it is, so I won't have to. I can't do it as good, but maybe you can. But what that is to take those words and to instill them in their heart, in your heart. How do you do that? Well, you study those words, right? But who has time to study? A lot of people might have a little bit of time. I don't have a lot of time. Well, who's ever been waiting at a doctor's office, just waiting there to do nothing, right? Waiting. Who's been waiting, who knows, maybe you're a passenger and you're taking a drive somewhere. You're not really doing anything, but you're just waiting. So he had this great idea. So this is just a little thing you can do. He says, you know, take your scriptures that you want to memorize and put them on an index card to tape them to the back of your phone, right? And so when you're in the doctor's office waiting, you always have your phone with you. You just turn it around and you start reading it right there. So anytime you got 2 or 3 minutes here or there, you could do that. So I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was a pretty good thing to do. I also like those little books you can get. I had one. I was trying to remember what the name of it was. I can picture it now. I was going to bring it. I forgot. It's real small. I think it was from Wilkerson. Anyways, he would have different topics, you know, like salvation, for one. It had healing. It had strengthening. And you'd have all these little scriptures lying there. And if you could carry that around and read that, I would gain great solace and great strength in being able to quote those as I'm praying. So it's always a good thing. So remember, the written word, spoken back and lived, is a great defense against the attacks of the devil. So James 4:7-8, it says, of course, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So what is that telling us to do? It's number 5. Resist. Just simply resist. Devil's coming, trying to get me. It's like a salesman coming. He's got a good sales pitch, and he's coming up to me, and he's saying, hey, here, I'm telling you this. You can do this, you can do that. I don't have to do that. I can resist. No, I'm not interested. I can walk away. So the best way to resist is to live close to God. Be submitted to God. Live our pure lives. Live your pure life within and without. You know, let that be your testimony as other people see you. You're living that pure life and you're resisting the temptations of Satan. And so although the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus has defeated the devil. So we can resist him very successfully in Jesus' almighty name. So then, I'll just do a quick summary so we can, because I know I was rambling a little bit, but we'll go ahead and do a summary. 5 of the hundreds of ways, but 5 good ways that we could resist the attacks of Satan. Number 1, be confident in the fact that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Amen. And he already did that. You know, and it kind of reminds me of another thing, and I've been trying not to sling off into little side rabbit trails here, but you know, sometimes you hear people. And who is that, Ramona, who's that one evangelist that does the street witnessing, and he's really good, and he gets people to stop and talk to him, and he says all these things? Yeah. Anyway, so we do that. Ray Comfort. Okay. So he does that. And I think I was listening to some of those, because they film those. And he'll just walk up to people on the street, and he says, would you like to talk to me? And he gets them to talk to him. Doesn't he offer them something? I don't know. Anyways, he stopped like a booklet or something. Anyways, he talks to them, and then they get into a deep conversation. These are people that aren't born-again Christians. Well, you know what? One of the biggest things I always hear them say is, you know, when they're thinking about it, they're like, well, I'm a good person. You know, I'm a good person. You know, I'm nice. I help people. I donate money. I volunteer. I'm a good person. Why would the Lord condemn me? Why would he think that's bad? But you know what we know? And this was a beautiful thing that he said. Jesus did not condemn us. We are condemned already. We were condemned the moment we were born into this world. So what he's here for is to save us and to rescue us. So the conversation is completely different. I'm not telling you why your actions condemn you. You're already condemned. But through the Lord Jesus, you're saved and brought out of that. So anyway, Jesus already destroyed the devil's work. Number two, we're going to make sure we give the devil no foothold. Don't let him get a start. Don't, you know, and I don't want to talk about things I don't know all about, but I remember Brother Richie was saying a few months back, or one time he was talking to me, and he was talking about how when he first became a Christian, and there was the other guys, the other miners that worked, they were a pretty rough crowd. You know, and after work, they'd like to go by and, hey, we're going to go by and we're going to, you know, get a drink. And they go by and get a drink, and time went on. But you know what? He realized, once he gave his heart to the Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to go with the boys. I'm not going to sit around and listen to inappropriate stories. I'm not going to, in essence, he's saying, I'm not going to give the devil a foothold to destroy what God has done in my life. And so, third thing would be, and this could be the most important thing, is walk our godly walk. You know, we don't have to praise the Lord only when we're here at church. You can praise the Lord in all things. You can praise the Lord throughout the day. Sometimes it takes, you have to develop a habit, right? I mean, you can get in the habit of being negative, because I do that. But you can get in the habit of being positive and praise and finding the praise. Like I was saying, you know, and I didn't do a very good job on the story last time, but I was mentioning before how about in the prisoner of war camp, they were upset because they had fleas in their prisoner of war camp. They couldn't praise the Lord for that. But it turns out that the fleas in their dorm is what kept the guards from coming in there and being cruel to them and beating them down. Yeah. Right? So the very thing. So we don't have to understand it. We don't have to connect the dots. Well, we can still praise the Lord in all things. And that's part of our godly walk. All right. And then fourth, just remain fortified in the Word of God. We have the Word of God. What more can we get than that? The actual Word of our God, the Creator of all that is, He puts it in a book. And we can read it anytime we want. And we can live it. And that's one of the ways that we resist those attacks. Then finally, we know our fifth thing is just resisting. Just resist. He's already said, if you resist, he will flee. So, that's a pretty short battle. That's a pretty good one. If I'm going to have a battle, if I go up and say, okay, I don't agree with you, and then they leave, that's pretty good. It was an easy fight for me, right? I got to do that. But, let me go to my next thing. So, if we want to look at it and say, so what does this mean to us? Well, we know that Satan's and the demons, they hate us. Their hope is to rob us, kill us, destroy us. That's what Jesus said. The Bible pictures the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that should make us scared. Should make us tremble, right? Does that make us scared? No. It doesn't make us scared because we have a different lion. We have the real lion, the Lion of Judah. And we see a picture right there. Anytime I see that, I think of that, just the roaring lion. The roaring lion. Yeah. In James 2:19, it says that it's the demons who tremble. So by contrast, the Christians then are always the victorious over Satan and his demons. So I would just say that, if you're here or perhaps watching on Facebook, think about it. Do you live your life on your own? Or do you get all these privileges that I was talking about? Do you get these five different ways to resist the attacks of Satan? Because Satan's attacking everybody, and I will venture to say, he's not just attacking the people that are Christians. He's attacking the non-Christians because he doesn't want to lose them. And he's doing whatever manipulation, whatever moral, whatever intellectual, whatever physical attack that he can do to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you want to be free from that, if you want a way out, all you have to do is quite simple. It's just trust in the Lord as your Savior and believe upon Him. And trust in the Word that He gave us. And you can do that right where you're at right now. You can just go ahead and tell yourself and tell God, I'm tired of living on my own. I can't do this anymore. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Renew me. Let me be a Christian. Let me be a follower. Let me be these things that I've heard. I want these protections. And He'll do that for you. He will never turn you away. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there providing that path. Not saying it's going to be easy to be a Christian, because we still do get those attacks. But the easy part is now we've got our shield. And I was going to go on and on about that, but I think I'll give everybody a break, and I'm going to write, if you'll ever let me speak again, I will. I'll go ahead and follow up with that on the next time, because I get so excited about it, and I think that would be very supporting to us. But did anybody here, would you like to have the church pray with you? Maybe just you're undergoing some attacks right now? Because you shouldn't be embarrassed that you're undergoing attacks. A lot of people say that that's how you know that you're getting on the devil's nerves. It's because he's attacking you more. The more that you try to do, the more he attacks. So there's no shame in being attacked. What we want to do is be able to be victorious in those attacks. So if you'd like the church to pray with you, we could certainly do that. You can come down front, or we can just pray as a group. Pastor, what would you like to do? Come on up, and we can just pray as a group. Okay. No, but I'll let you go ahead and give our exit.
Most important decision you can make in your life is that to follow Jesus, to let him be the Lord of your life, and he'll help you through. We all go through these tough times, don't we, where the Satan attacks us, but I like that. You must be getting on his nerves if he's attacking you, so just keep on keeping on. Amen. We might not like the bed bugs, but if it keeps the enemy away, I guess that's great. I don't want to be there, but anyway. So I pray that you will commit your life to Jesus Christ if you have not done that. And so we thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you have a blessed week. And if you feel discouraged, remember, there is encouragement. Jesus knows who you are, and he's praying for you before to the Father. Have a blessed week. There you go. Okay. If I could reach it, I could turn it off, but I tripped and couldn't reach it. So it's good to see you today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And there was something we could receive today. Even the kids, Ramona stayed in. She wanted to hear her husband speak, I think.